This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
A national mental health strategy. Sounds like a wonderful idea, but what does it actually mean? Some activists fear that such a strategy will do more to serve the interests of drug companies and the medical establishment, not the mentally ill. Francesca Allen is one of these activists, and she lives in Victoria. Earlier this month, she made a presentation to a Senate subcommittee on mental health and mental illness. Those hearings were held in Vancouver, and she joins me now on the line from Victoria. Hi, Francesca, and welcome to Co-op Radio.
Hello, good morning.
What was your message that you brought to the Senate subcommittee?
Well, pretty much I just wanted to present the point of view of the people who this kind of thing is going to be affecting the most. I wanted to make sure that people were aware that when they use, you know, very acceptable terminology like acceptance, you know, access to care and things like that, what that actually means for the people that are in many cases forced into psychiatric treatment and what that treatment involves.
And was that the main concern of forced treatment? Were there other aspects as well that you expressed concern about and wanted to alert to the committee to?
Well, forced treatment is really my issue, so that was pretty much all I was dealing with. There were other people that made presentations on other issues, such as someone made an excellent presentation on the problem of housing for ex-psychiatric patients, which is a huge problem. So there were, you know, there were various people there. As far as I know, Rob Wypond and myself were the only people that dealt with the problem of forced psychiatry.
And were there representations from other organizations with which you disagree?
Absolutely. Yeah, there were several people from Canada Mental Health Association and various other groups. Most of these groups were representing families of the mentally ill. I didn't hear those other presentations, but I know from the stuff that they publish what their point of view is.
And what is that?
Well, basically, people are saying that the Mental Health Act isn't strong enough and that they need more power and that people, it has to be easier to force people into drugs that they don't want and electroshock that they don't want. It should be easier to lock them up. That's where a lot of these groups are coming from. There's a rather, well, it's getting to be a large response to that. People like myself who were saying, no, that's the wrong way to go. That's not the answer at all.
And is a lot of this course of treatment related to pharmaceutical medication?
That's the primary problem, yeah. But I mean, the whole notion of locking people up, you know, for not thinking right, is a problem, a big problem.
Well, maybe we can go into that a little more detail, because I guess it's not unfair to say that a lot of people have some sense that we're in a new and kinder, gentler era in terms of how we relate to people diagnosed with mental illness. And clearly you have quite a different understanding and perception of that situation. So what could become, what can and does become to a person who gets involved with the mental health system? Could you give us some examples or details anyway, not particular individual examples, but details as to what happens to them?
Well, the very first thing that will happen is you'll have a psychiatric label applied to you, such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. It's important to point out here that the error rate on that initial diagnosis is 50%. That's been confirmed by all kinds of studies. So you're given this label that has a 50% chance of being incorrect anyway. And for every psychiatric label, there is just an onslaught of drugs that comes with that. If you don't want to take them and your doctor does want you to take them, you will end up taking them. If you're unfortunate enough to find yourself an involuntary patient in a psychiatric hospital, and if you refuse your drugs there, they will jump on you, they will restrain you, and they will inject you with drugs. And it doesn't matter how much of a struggle you put up. You cannot fight off four large men coming at you in that fashion.
What are the legal provisions for compulsory confinement in an institution, and therefore you're subjected to these treatments? What process has to be gone through?
Well, one doctor can hold you for 48 hours. They can sign you in for 48 hours. During that 48 hours, a second doctor has to examine you. If they agree with the first doctor's recommendation, then you're certified. And that means that you're an involuntary patient. You can be held indefinitely, and you're subject to the discipline and the direction of the director of the facility. Now, the criteria that they use, you know, you would hope that that would only happen to people, you know, that were in imminent danger of harm to themselves or to others. You know, I mean, you'd think it would have to be a pretty severe situation for that process to get rolling. In fact, it's not. I've been threatened with incarceration for not wanting to add another drug to my cocktail. You know, I've been a voluntary patient before, and then have been upgraded to involuntary just for saying that I wanted to leave or saying that I didn't agree with this treatment. That's not a case of danger. And in fact, right in the Mental Health Act, you know, there's a section that deals specifically with involuntary treatment, and the standard is actually just capable, a person who is capable of deteriorating mentally or physically. Well, that's a very, very huge group of people. I mean, that's a very, very loose standard, and it's just... What happens every day is not what was intended by the people who drafted the legislation.
A question with regards to some of the drug treatments that are enforced on people, are they effect simply for the time that they're under the influence of that drug, or do those drugs have known side effects?
Oh, there's just massive amounts of research about the side effects of these drugs. There's for people who are psychotic or, you know, exhibiting other symptoms of schizophrenia, the treatment is neuroleptics, and these are drugs like Haldol and Risperidone. These are very, very popular drugs. All of the neuroleptics, they have the potential to cause a condition called tardive dyskinesia, which is a ghastly and permanent disease. It's also referred to as Parkinsonian syndrome, because they people that have it, they look like they have Parkinson's disease. They have, you know, involuntary twitching all over their bodies. They have sort of they grimace. Their tongue may pop out of their mouth. They can't control any of these things. And many people commit suicide just from having this condition. And the rate of people who will develop this with neuroleptic prescriptions it could be as low as 10, but in fact it might be 40% of long-term neuroleptic users get this disease. And I think it's really important to point out that the people that we think of as insane when we see them on the street, like downtown around Hastings in Maine or whatever, you often see people and they're just, I mean, they're really suffering. It's just obvious to spot them. They walk strangely. They have a very, very strange way of getting around. And people think that that's because they're ill. It's not. It's from tardive dyskinesia. I mean, that's what you're looking at. That's the face of the treatment, not the illness.
What protection under human rights legislation or others would you think appropriate to see that people who are defined as diagnosed or categorized as suffering from a mental illness need in order to maintain their own humanity and their dignity?
Well, one thing I think we could do is just uphold our charter. I think we should take it very seriously when we say or pretend to say that you know, we have inherent dignity. We don't take groups of people and discriminate against them. I think we should stop doing that. I think the easiest way for that to happen is I think the Mental Health Act should be repealed. We don't have a Diabetes Act, we don't have a Cancer Act, and I don't think we need a Mental Health Act.
No, we often see the United States as being at the vanguard of repressive legislation and abuse of human rights, and there is a Bush administration draft mental health strategy that's come out of something called the Freedom Commission on Mental Health.
Yeah.
And it endorses a program whose acronym is TMAP. What can you tell us about TMAP and the Bush approach to mental health treatment?
Well, TMAP is an acronym for Texas Medication Algorithm Project, and the gist of this program is that they want every child in school to be screened for mental illness. Now, what is not being made aware or public is that this screening is going to be financed and run by pharmaceutical drug manufacturers, which just strikes us in this movement as just the essence of a conflict.
Lastly, what would you say, aside from laws, aside from Senate hearings, what changes do we need in public attitudes in terms of people who are deemed to be mentally ill?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is we need to dissipate the fear, because all of this repressive legislation and all of the abuse that the mentally ill suffer is basically driven by fear. I think we have to realize that, you know, these are people just like all the rest of us, and they deserve our compassion and our empathy.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Francesca.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Francesca Allen. She's an activist on the mental health issue in Victoria. And if you'd like more information about issues around mental health and human rights, you can visit this website, mindfreedom.org.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.